amateur hour over here.
It is amateur hour. Friendly, you can't fucking drink either.
Way to breathe, no breath.
So anyway.
All right, here we go. Best threesome ever, woo! Episode 12. I'm Nick.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Kevin.
All right, here we go. First of all, I just want to say that last time you wanted to fact check me on Purple Rain, so I did some fact checking. It debuted August 3rd, 1983.
The album did?
That song. That recording. At First Ave, which we all knew.
Yeah.
It was the debut of that song, and it was the recording for the album Purple Rain, because they were in the process of filming Purple Rain.
Yeah.
So they recorded that song for the album. It was also the debut of that guitarist, Wendy. I'm going to butcher the last name.
Melvoin.
Melvoin, thank you. They eventually became the Revolution. But it just goes to like say that here you are debuting a new guitarist with a new song, and you're recording it for an album, and that's amazing. So I just wanted to say that. And then I know we talked about how Kevin hated Bat Dance last time, so I listened to Kevin Smith and his little podcast about his. They did a tribute to Prince, and he talked about how he loved Bat Dance and that it was his jam, and he really loved the song. But what they both talked about, which I thought was interesting, was that how Prince spoke the costume that he did for that video really spoke of the dichotomy of not only Batman and Bruce Wayne, but also of Joker. And whoever you are, there's always two sides, and they really got into this whole thing about it. And I was like, if you think about it that way, not agreeing that it was a great soundtrack for the simply speaking of the song alone.
Yes.
Makes it a little bit more interesting.
Well, I mean, the rest of the soundtrack, the Danny Elfman parts, mm-hmm.
The theme is great.
The theme is iconic for Batman.
Oh, yeah. Love that theme.
That is Batman.
Yeah, and the build and the build of it at the beginning, and then just
it's just... like I said, I love Prince. It just wasn't a good fit.
I'm not disagreeing. Just that
man.
I thought it was interesting that, like I said, I just thought it was interesting that they spoke of the dichotomy.
That is interesting.
It is. But other than that, you're right.
Yeah.
But anyways, we're going to obviously...
Civil War!
We're going to... Spoiler alert, Civil War. Lee surrendered, and Lincoln got killed.
I did see that post.
I love that post. I thought I got a good chuckle out of that one. But we are, spoiler alert, we are going to talk about Civil War.
We're
going
to talk the shit out of some Civil War today, and we're going to spoil the fuck out of this. Oh my God, Spider-Man.
Oh my God, Spider-Man.
Go ahead.
I'm so worried about this casting choice. I'm like another boring white kid that I don't know and don't really care about.
Right.
This kid fucking slayed it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, he is Spider-Man.
Here's the thing, though. Like, most of his best acting was in voiceover.
Oh, yeah.
Which I loved,
by the way. But it was fine. Personally, this kid is Spider-Man versus any other person that's played Spider-Man prior to him. Nailed it.
Blew McGuire out of the water.
Absolutely.
He did. And even Tobey Maguire has come out on Instagram. Somebody posted a video. I don't know if you saw this, but somebody did a mashup of the Civil War trailer where Tom Holland's Spider-Man jumps into this scene after, you know, under ruse, and goes, "Hey, guys." And Tobey Maguire's character from Peter Parker is looking at the TV screens in Spider-Man 2. And he's watching the Civil War trailer, and he just sort of goes wide-eyed, and the next shot is him in his apartment pulling out, going under the bed and pulling out this box and pulling out the Spider-Man suit and just sort of like and Tobey Maguire posted that, and he's like, "I don't know who did this, but I love it." P.S. Tom Holland, you were great. So, you know, OG Spider-Man giving it up for new Spider-Man is great.
And I think for the first time they really showed the strength of Spider-Man. I mean, you know he's strong, but going toe-to-toe with Captain America and the Winter Soldier, just he's like, "You got a metal
fist. You have a metal arm?"
And he's
That's
just,
awesome.
He's just holding it.
He clearly showed his age by not only geeking out super hard about the fight he was in, but that whole, have you guys seen that really old movie, Empire Strikes Back? How old is this kid? I didn't carbon date him. He had a much bigger part than we were expecting.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Edited out of the trailer.
Edited out of part of the trailer. Scenes he was in, edited out of just to kind of fuck with us, which bravo.
Well done, Mark.
Right.
Yeah.
But it,
very well done.
Black Panther also.
Oh yeah!
God, what
yeah.
an incredible wow. job! That, what an intro!
Chadwick Boseman is just moved like to the top of some, one of my favorite actors.
Blew it up.
I yeah. I'm not. I,
he was so wonderful in that. I got to give it up to the Russo brothers on this.
Oh,
one.
Absolutely.
The directors.
Yep.
They took what was essentially the same sized cast of Ultron. And was they were able to make fairly reasonable storylines for everyone, and I say almost everyone because I have a little thing, but we can talk about it later. But specifically, I got to give it up to them for Black Panther storyline in this
movie. Oh, yeah.
Because from beginning to end, it is you. There's a perfect story.
It made me. More
I'm so touched and so you know.
It, God, I want his ring.
It, right,
right.
It made me the way that they wrote Black Panther, and I was you know Black Panther. I'm like, he's pretty cool. I like the character. This actually made me more interested and very much intrigued to see the Black Panther
excited
movie.
Excited yeah. for him exactly. as
yes.
a character.
Yes.
I'm excited to see his solo movie because I think it'll be. I hope it'll be great.
There's only one. There's only one element of it missing that is going to be. That is going to be depressing, and I will personally feel the void of her not being there. But such a big part of Black Panther's life is Storm, and
yes.
the fact that she won't be in it is sad. But I liked his little escort, like his oh, little yeah. bodyguard mm-hmm. girl,
super hot Baltic.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Girl who basically, if she had a white mohawk, would look like Storm.
Yeah,
as interesting as this would be.
But and I will feel the absence of that, but I feel the Black Panther movie is going to be fucking outstanding.
It will. And then I made the joke at the end where they're you know doing the thing first offshoot of the movie where they go to the little scene and they're at the Black Panther's hideaway and Captain America's talking to him and they look out into the thing. They're like, he's like, let them come. And they turn to the big Black Panther that's sitting there and I go, I turn to Kevin immediately after that and I go, what? They're protected by Voltron? Yeah.
Right?
That's a good point.
For sure.
That would be awesome. Yeah, Black Panther. Amazing.
He was amazing. And you know what? We got some pretty decent storylines for the rest of the actors that the rest of the characters that came back. Tony to the hilt. Oh my God, how depressing. Like that was
right.
That was outstanding to watch. Tony from the beginning of the movie to the end is just having emotional whiplash everywhere he fucking turns. Dude is suffering from some
post
breakup depression.
He has PTSD serious, something awful.
Oh, yeah.
Some serious PTSD. Like he is.
Well, he started to exhibit that in the third Iron Man movie.
Yeah. But now it's like it's progressed to
oh,
the
absolutely.
Point of you know
almost
really bad. Yeah. Like he's
like I'm
he's about ready to
I'm
start
mad
having
at,
some flashbacks.
I'm mad at Pepper right now. Because she left him in what is clearly
a point that he needs him the most,
where he needs her.
Hurt needs her. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
I don't know if I agree. I don't. I mean, yes, I understand,
because,
but I also have to understand the meta of it.
Even though they haven't explained the why, I have a feeling I know why. Like they kind of explained the why, but they didn't yeah. really go into detail.
Yeah.
Obviously, his obsession over making these suits is yeah. part of his coping mechanism, and I think Cracked even had an article
yep.
about it.
Yep.
But
that his therapy is to build, to be an inventor, to be an engineer.
And his friend who he reaches out to and is trying to get help and cope falls asleep while he's fucking telling a story.
Yeah. No, I know.
He doesn't have very many good friends. He has
no,
Rhodey, and even then Rhodey's kind of a dick.
Right. Yeah. But you know. And
but
that,
I mean, he
but,
Tony Stank kind of deserved
but I think
it.
That I think yeah. that showed at very much at the end when Cap wrote that letter to him, it's like, I didn't want you wandering around a mansion by yourself. Just you, even though we don't agree on this, I'm always there for you, man. I got your back, you know. And that was, I thought that, you know, speaking of that PTSD and Cap realizing that Tony is suffering from PTSD and that he needs at least to know that somebody's there, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. But I gotta say one more thing on the Black Panther though. His final scene is like, well, I should say the scene at the climax of the film where Tony and Cap and Bucky are all fighting, and you've got
his moment of compassion with Zemo.
With Zemo,
yeah,
gold.
God, gold.
Right.
You know, it was the one moment in the movie where I was like, oh, we're gonna get the cheesy tie-in line throughout the whole film, and we didn't get it, and I was surprised
mm-hmm.
because at the beginning of the film, you hear him say, "You one of those like powerful moments." scenes for T'Challa.
T'Chaka was the dad. T'Challa was the son.
Thank you. I just was worried about my pronunciation. But you hear T'Challa say towards the beginning of the film, you know, I am not my father. And that moment where he's like, I wanted to kill you. You and my father had such vengeance. And I honestly expected them to just take the cop-out route and go, I am not my father. And just have him walk off and just, like, diva strut away, mic dropping all the way.
Right.
Like, that's what I was expecting. But they didn't do that, and I'm actually happy for it.
And instead he grabs the gun and saves his life. So hopefully he'll come back and he'll be in that purple suit with the fur lining. Right. The tiara, please God. With the earmuffs. I was so sad like that I got Baron Zemo, but he didn't have his... one of the worst costumes in Marvel Comics, but I love it.
Yeah, but horrible. And let's talk about that for a minute. Zemo... Oh my God!
Yeah. What an out of nowhere great manipulative villain!
An amazing performance by Daniel Brühl, by the way, is the name of the actor. He was from the beginning of the movie up until about halfway through, I just assumed he was some sort of Hydra offshoot bullshit thing.
Right. Yep.
And then you get to that final climax.
When you're expecting the fight with the super soldiers, and instead it's like, eye off them. Fuck you.
Yeah.
He's like, hate you so much.
I off them. Fuck you guys. Here's a video showing your dead parents, Tony. And it's Bucky that killed them. My vengeance is complete.
And this
peace,
and
bitches.
You want to talk about true psychopaths, you know, like there's been plenty of psychopaths throughout movies and stuff, you know, and portrayed, obviously, Silence of the Lambs,
Anthony Hopkins.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anthony Hopkins is...
He just said that C-3PO was a Hollywood psychopath.
Maybe he is. He's got a metal mask over his mouth.
I had a therapist tell me once. I ate him with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
But my point is that what makes them great psychopaths is that they have this inane patience and this just, I want to enact vengeance, but I have to play my piece at the right time, at the right moment, and I'm going to wait an eternity until I can play that right piece. Mm-hmm. And he did it, and it was just like he waited his turn, and you got to know it's just eating him alive to do it. And he found his moment, and he brilliantly, I mean, they point out, they're like, Captain America couldn't find Winter Soldier. They couldn't find him. They're looking for years, can't find him. One little incident, and they're able to pull him out so that S.H.I.E.L.D. can catch him and so that he can be the psychologist that goes in and activates him. But to have that patience, I think, really speaks of the inane psychopath that he is, and I brilliant. I thought it was 100% brilliant.
So I do. I loved the movie, but I did go see with my girlfriend, and she did not like it right away. And we talked about it afterwards, and because we do this after movies, we just sit there and debrief on a film, and we talked about it, and I realized what her problem was. This is not a good standalone movie. You cannot watch this without having seen practically everything before it.
Absolutely.
Yes. Correct.
It's almost impossible. And that's too bad because every other MCU film can be a standalone movie because there's at least a little bit of exposition.
Yeah. Yeah.
There wasn't much at all in this one, and there needed to be.
Including Ant-Man. You have to see, even if you don't care for Ant-Man, you have to see the movie to understand.
And that's what I told one of my coworkers. She's like, she said, I haven't seen Ant-Man yet. We're thinking about going to see Civil War this week, and I'm like, don't see Ant-Man first and then do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is another thing I want to bring up. Ant-Man is one of... I have like one or two weak points about this movie. And overall, I thought the movie was brilliant. And these weak points are only like B pluses. So, Ant-Man.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't like it?
My problem was that...
To Paul Rudd?
No. Unlike Spider-Man, we didn't get enough from him. Like, I don't feel like we got enough Paul Rudd.
I feel that way in anything Paul Rudd is in. I can never have enough Paul Rudd.
Really?
Yeah, that's true.
Like
role models.
I could have taken way more Paul Rudd in Anchorman, for crying out loud.
I was gonna say Anchorman is the one movie where I felt like I had too much Paul Rudd.
I love him and everything he does. Clueless.
Sex Panther.
Even more. I could have even taken more Paul Rudd in Clueless.
Movie would have been better if there had been more Paul
probably.
Rudd.
Like, I watched that the other day. I'm like, ha-ha, Ant-Man's about to bang Batgirl. That's pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I forgot about that.
You're welcome.
Paul Rudd was a little weak for me. He literally shows up for two scenes.
Yeah.
And they're not strong. They're kind of throwaway scenes.
But Giant Man, man.
Giant Man was awesome. But you know what? Did we need it?
Yes.
Yes.
Why?
Because.
It was awesome.
Awesome.
Eh.
I think,
oh, my God. Because they needed to keep. Because it needed to be even, goddammit.
Okay. I will give you that. I think his new little thing that he did.
Rogers and Bucky could not have gotten away without him.
Yeah. No, and I agree. He is absolutely one of the pivotal moments of that fight. But I don't know. I think if he had not been in the movie, it still would have been a great movie.
It's true.
If you had done that movie without Spider-Man, it wouldn't have been as good. And the thing is, Spider-Man and Ant-Man have about the same amount of screen time.
I would say if Spider-Man is even less because he's not even in that jail scene. I mean, he goes back to New York.
But he had more personal screen time.
True.
Yep. Like everything Ant-Man was in, it was quick or it was part of a group. Like the only real time he got with Ant-Man was when he was geeking out about meeting everyone,
yeah.
Which felt so pure. Yeah. And that's why I loved it.
That
really felt like Paul Rudd going, I'm here, aren't I?
I didn't wet a hot American summer. What the fuck am I doing here?
Oh, God. That was an Anchorman for crying. I was in a Will Ferrell and Christina Applegate movie, and now I'm here.
Right.
I was in Clueless, and I'm here.
Right. It's just, you look at that and you go, Paul Rudd, you're in this movie. What the fuck?
I love him.
I do, too.
I really do.
He was just a little superfluous.
But I'm glad he was there.
It was nice for fleshing out the world, but I don't know if he was needed.
But Spider-Man, they needed to give a proper introduction to. We'd already been introduced to Ant-Man, so we didn't need that.
But we've already been introduced to Spider-Man twice.
Not in this world. And, so we needed that introduction of, and his fucking hot ass aunt. Who, oh my God, Marissa Tomei, I was keeping it tight.
I was just about to say, we haven't been introduced to his hot ass aunt yet, and that was definitely needed. Oh my God.
Tony Stark is going to hit that if he didn't already before the movie had ended.
Right.
He and Pepper on a break, he is folding that.
So, first of all, I've never wanted to sleep with Aunt May before until this movie.
Crying out loud.
God, Marissa Tomei.
Right?
Good for her with a little streak of silver in her hair. That was nice.
Yeah.
Still hot.
Oh, God. At 50.
51,
at
50.
No, she's 50.
51.
51?
51.
51.
Nothing that matters, but still.
Right. I mean, what's a year?
I'd still definitely
bang it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want my cousin Vinny Marissa Tomei. I would like Aunt May Marissa Tomei, please.
Who thought you would ever say that?
I know.
I never in my youth agree that when I grow up, I'm going to want to bang the shit out of Aunt May. That's the dream.
Right?
Did we feel that when they introduced Spider-Man and living in Queens in this apartment, which a little bit more upscale than we've seen before, because before he lived in a house? How did you feel about that?
Actually, I liked it because while it was a little more upscale. Quote,
New York upscale is that would be a very expensive place.
That's actually a pretty pricey place,
especially in Queens.
Yeah, but when you get to see Peter's room, it's really kind of bare bones. And
I love his little Apple 2GS in the corner.
Yeah, I thought that was delightful. Like all his little His little tinkery things.
Everything.
And then he's a dumpster diver. I love that.
Yeah.
I thought
And then has this like high tech web shooter and,
yeah.
and this then horseshit has, costume.
Yeah, the whole, that's my favorite part. The super high tech web shooters and then just the costume that he found at
stupid,
Spence.
Yeah, the onesie. The,
like a Goodwill.
Yeah. yeah. That you can totally tell that a 15-year-old boy would probably make.
But I like that they didn't explain it, but they basically explained it. Because my question was how he got the Deadpool eyes that expression.
They're Stark Tech.
Basically telescoping the condensing lenses.
And there was rumor about that when the preview came out because you hear the little at the end and you could, people were speculating was it Stark technology.
Although, of course it was.
The spider signal. Thank you, God. Thank you, fucking God. Right.
I'm so glad that somebody finally acknowledged it.
That the spider signal exists?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're holding us back, Nick. Moving on.
Onesie.
So there is...
Oh, I was going to say that and I don't know why it took me this long to kind of really put it all together, but it's amazing when you think about it, how much Stark technology is involved in the Marvel Universe in general with the...
Oh, yeah.
And it's everywhere. Every one of these people would save maybe Thor. Somehow Stark technology was involved one way, shape, or form or the other.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that adds a whole thing about, with this whole Civil War thing and like what Tony was talking about when he was like, I knew that they made weapons and I chose to change it and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, but look at all the other impact that everything else you've ever built has had.
Yeah.
Good, bad, or indifferent.
Well, I mean, and that's a lot of the things that he was talking about, like reasons they need to be reined in. A lot of that was his fault.
Yeah.
A lot of that was Tony.
And do you think part of it is maybe it's a guilt?
It is guilt. It's survivor's guilt.
Yeah.
It's straight up survivor's guilt on Tony's part.
Yeah.
And that is proven very clearly with the scene with Elfrey goddamn Woodard. Oh, loved her. For those that don't know, Elfrey Woodard is an Oscar-winning goddamn actress.
And a
Tony Award-winning actress. Yeah. And she shows up for 90 seconds in this movie, and it's a goddamn crime that she was only in it for 90 seconds.
But she showed up to just basically say, fuck you, Tony. Fuck you and fuck your Iron Man.
And she's playing an incredibly pivotal role from the comic book storyline. The main activist from the Civil War storyline, which in turn was also based on Cindy Sheehan and the four widows of the 9/11 firefighters. She's playing this amalgamation of real life anti-war activists,
right?
And in the comic books, this woman is pivotal to getting Iron Man on the side of pro-registration. She's pivotal to getting the whole thing going. Like, it's practically her law. Like, it's practically her. They practically named it Jacob's Law. I mean, Damien's Law. Sorry. But it was.
I think in her 90 seconds of being in it, though, I think she was that voice with a very short period that she was in. She was the voice of all of the people, and she made the most prolific point about you walked away. It's like my son died for what? And then you just walked away.
Yeah.
And I
you just kept going.
Yeah.
We had to pick up the pieces.
Yeah. But right. Now what we found out is that I had mentioned this in an earlier podcast that there was going to be
a connection
to from the cinematic universe to the Netflix slash agents side of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So we needed some connection besides little mentions, and we found out that this character will actually be in a number of episodes of Luke Cage.
Actually, that's not true.
What?
She appears in this film as Miriam Sharp, which is the name of the character from the comic book.
Mm-hmm.
She will be appearing in Luke Cage as a character named Mariah Dillard, otherwise known as the supervillain Black Mariah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, then fucking
actually two different characters, but...
That's actually super annoying, then, because I just saw the fact that she was in both. I didn't look at the character names.
This is why I do research.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So if vibranium is the strongest metal, what about adamantium?
Doesn't exist in this universe. That's what the vibranium is.
Yeah.
It's their version of adamantium because they can't say adamantium because Fox owns that.
Because
right
Fox
now.
Still, yeah.
Because I was confused at that. Oh, and speaking of which, So there's a couple of YouTube clips, and I'll post them on our thing. There's a very well-known competition shooter. He's a fast gun shooter. Like, this man's amazing. He's like 90 years old, but he shoots a lot, and he's an awesome guy. He's super awesome to watch. If you ever watch any of his videos about shoots guns, he can shoot a six-shooter faster than anybody in the world. It's okay. Amazing. So anyways, he tested the theory of how strong is Captain America's shield. And of course, they don't have vibranium, so they made it out of titanium. And he put six 45 caliber rounds into the shield. Shield held up. And then what did he do with it? He took it and saw how well does it affect if you actually throw it at somebody, and decapitated the motherfucking head off some dude.
Awesome.
And it was like, first of all, I would never think of this guy being to do nerdy things like that, but the fact that he did was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I like that Spider-Man pointed out that his shield doesn't follow the laws of
physics. Shield doesn't follow the laws of physics.
God bless Spider-Man in this movie.
Right?
Everything. What are those wings made out of? Those polycarbonate? I mean, that would explain the bending. He's like trying to scientifically...
We don't normally talk this much during a fight. Oh, my bad.
Right? He's just so excited. He's like, he's that nerd.
Hey, you guys remember that really old film, Empire Strikes Back?
Right.
Where'd you find this kid?
But he's being like that... The wisecracking Spider-Man that we like, but also being that kid that's the nerd that's just like, oh, tell me, I want to know about this. I wish I had time to actually talk to you. Oh, but I can't. So
yeah, it's great because he's that hyperactive scientist.
After I'm done punching you in the dick, can we hang out later and talk about cool stuff?
Right.
Was basically his attitude.
Yeah. And I do have one other thing, and I mentioned this before. The other weak point I felt about this film, Cap.
He wasn't in much of it.
No.
I thought he was
so really weak. Was not a Captain America movie.
No, that's why I'm confused at the name.
It wasn't.
He wasn't as much of this as he was in any Avengers movie.
No,
this
actually, he had more screen time than anyone. Here's the thing.
I don't know about that. Every time he's
on screen, someone else was outplaying him.
Yeah.
Chris Evans... kind of phoned it in a little bit for me.
I actually would like to go with a couple of people and a couple of stopwatches
and time, how long Captain America solo
screen time between Captain America and Tony Stark,
Black Widow.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know why Scarlett Johansson. I don't know why I couldn't think of her. And even Panther.
I'm not gonna lie. I like that Scarlett Johansson. Like
Falcon.
I'm not gonna lie. I like Black Widow with the longer hair instead of the shorter bobby cut hair.
I like the bob cut. I don't know what you're talking about. But anyways,
I like it because it's getting back almost to Iron Man 2 length again.
Yeah, but I like it. I like her hair really. Honestly, her hair
has been the best way to tell time in this universe and how it's actually progressing.
Oh, actually, you're right. Weird.
It really like her. Huh. Her hair has been like our timekeeper.
Huh. Well,
you're
anyways,
welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
There is one point I would like to talk about that's very important about it when you're done. Because I'd like to be the last thing about Civil War.
Sure.
Because I need to throw a couple of things in your face.
That'll be good.
Okay.
Rob, finish your point.
I thought Cap was kind of the weakest part of this movie. He was...
Really?
Yeah, I don't feel like he really stuck to any sort of message. It doesn't help that, you know, they call it Civil War and really it's Cap saves Bucky. It's Civil War to a point, but it's, I don't know, I didn't feel too strongly about Cap. Bucky was great, and the interaction between Bucky and Falcon when they're on the run...
I hate you.
Comedy gold. Comedy. Oh, did I just steal one of your points?
No, the.
Oh, yeah.
When Falcon says that to Bucky, I hate you.
It's comedy gold right there. Also, finally.
I would like to see a Starsky and Hutch style TV show.
Falcon and Bucky.
Please, God, somebody make
Bucky
this.
Bucky and the Falcon.
We'll call it Bucky and the Falcon.
Or Falcon.
Bucky and the Falk.
Bucky and the Falk. I like it. Also, good for Steve Rogers for finally getting some of that hot Emily Van Camp ass.
About time. So they they didn't actually really explain very well what her relationship to Peggy Carter was. At first, I thought it was like a grandmother kind of thing. But
it's aunt. That's aunt.
But she's aunt too Peggy. Old to be her aunt. Because I know it, originally in the old comics, she was actually her younger sister. Mm-hmm. But since the aging thing, they had kind of retconned that.
Yeah, and then
she
made
became
her
niece.
Niece,
but like,
and then daughter but, for a while, and then granddaughter at one point.
But yeah. It's got to be kind of almost like a Peter Parker original Aunt May kind of aunt, where it has to be great aunt because she is super old.
Well, it could be.
13 is super
maybe
not.
Maybe if you want to timeline it out a
age
little bit
13 not the age of the
perhaps kids. She yeah. was perhaps she was the oldest daughter of that family and then her mom was the youngest daughter born way later like maybe in the 60s
that could be. Yeah, I mean that's more what I want. I know I knew that she was the niece. I just wanted to know how
right.
Because obviously you know the father's side kind of thing because they're both Carters and
yeah. And I would just like to say too that that her and Scarlett Johansson, holy shit, they kicked some serious ass in this movie. Like more than any other movie. Like I even want to say they kicked more ass than the guys did.
No.
They were not more physical. I mean,
no.
There's punches
I don't
and
think they kicked more ass than the guys did. I know they did.
Okay, fair enough. It was,
sorry.
But it was amazing. And the way, but what was even cooler was like the way they like tag teamed off when they're fighting each other. And
yeah.
I like how they showed how really scary, powerful Scarlet Witch is when she just. She just took Vision to Pound Town, and not in the way that Vision's going to take her to Pound Town later, because they totally set up that relationship. Kapow!
Oh, Scarlet Witch?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
she's super excited for that.
Oof.
Besides that point, though, I felt that they didn't really speak much of her character, that she didn't have
a
big part.
You know what?
I'm impressed that they did more towards the comics than I thought they would, because they basically made her the catalyst from the comics.
Yeah.
And I was very impressed about that. I thought it was going to be Bucky.
Hmm. So did I. Instead, she's Speedball.
And like, what pisses me off is if she hadn't fucking lifted him up, that would have been way worse. It was a corner of the building when it would have been an entire street of people.
I'm curious why she couldn't. Maybe she couldn't have lifted him up higher before she let it go.
Was about to blow.
Yeah.
Well, she was holding him together. I thought
barely.
Because I thought she contained. Like she was containing. Because he looked like he was like.
She's still very young and very green.
She's still
right.
New.
Well, I'm with you. Oh, I got it. I understand that. And then I had mentioned once before I had messaged you guys in the messenger thing about we had talked about like with the magic and that they didn't acknowledge magic and now they finally are with Doctor Strange and blah blah blah.
Sure.
And then I mentioned Loki. Isn't Loki magical?
No,
it's they explain it in the first Thor movie.
I forgot the first Thor movie.
Kind of
I'm sorry.
It's science and magic.
Okay.
It's
all right.
It's
yeah.
alien
all right.
alien bullshit. But what they're actually more acknowledging the magic of is Black Panther.
Mm. Yeah, because that ring.
His abilities are completely magical.
Are they?
But I'm sure, and I'm hoping that they'll go into in the movie. But
yeah.
fact that this is passed down from generation to generation. I mean,
but again, the ring. Like,
his abilities were more than just that super fucking cool bulletproof suit.
Right?
Can everybody get one of those? Because that's awesome. But no, like it.
No,
he,
only the
he had
wealthy,
way more
wealthy
strength
and
power than just a dude in a suit should have.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Also, and the speed he was keeping up with how fast they're running.
Exactly.
Yep.
And that because that's not just like normal Olympic Kenyan fast.
They were outrunning traffic.
It's Wakandan. They're clearly faster than Kenyans.
Wakanda doesn't exist, and I was making a human parallel.
Usain Bolt. They're faster than Usain Bolt.
One thing that's annoying me is there are a lot of things in Civil War that are being praised that were the exact same thing that was happening in Batman versus Superman, to which that movie was getting shit on for.
Please explain.
Okay,
show your work.
I'm gonna
good.
Okay. I have a rebuttal, but go ahead.
And I know you do. And I'm gonna go somewhere with this that will please you.
No.
The fact that it was all due to a misunderstanding, due to a manipulative dickhead. It was a little bit of the same story as Batman versus Superman. Zemo and Lex very much the same character. Batman and Superman were very much the same as Captain America and Iron Man,
but way better.
No, let me go somewhere with this.
So
I want to hear the whole thing.
So and the whole killing thing. that people were so mad at Batman about that they were very gung-ho with in this movie, and nobody seems to mind. There were a lot of dudes that got killed by our superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Falcon comes in and just shoots a bunch of dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, point blank. Like, he killed them.
I thought he just knocked... You mean in that opening scene in Lagos?
Oh, no, he killed
guns
him.
Guns where he shot a dude, like, in the chest and face and balls? Yeah.
He shot him. He's dead.
Okay.
Maybe it's because they're bad guys?
And, I mean, even Captain America's, like, shooting dudes in Captain America 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was killings. Like, these our superheroes were killing people in this, and it bothers me that there are things like that, like the fact that this was all because of some misunderstanding, and basically instead of the Martha bringing them together, the Martha tore them apart. And which that scene was fucking savage, by the way. Ooh, that was brutal.
Oh,
and I saw it coming. I'm like, oh fuck, that was Stark. Fuck me. Fuck shitballs. Fuck. But there are just a lot of similarities between the movies that I am annoyed that one is getting cut down for when the other one's doing it and it's being praised. Now the biggest difference between the two is that the biggest difference is that this movie had more heart.
Yes,
it did.
It had a brighter attitude.
Yep.
Captain
You're
America.
Exactly what I was going to rebut.
Captain America smiled.
Yeah.
And so did Tony Stark. And it still had humor and bright points. And yeah. I think Batman versus Superman, if it had a couple more of those bright points, could have been a much better movie. That being said, I still loved it. And I'm going to put these, actually, for me, on par with each other.
Really?
Civil War better? Yes.
Yeah, Civil War better.
Civil War better. But I still...
But only marginally?
I wouldn't say marginally, but
it's definitely a step above, but it's not too far ahead of it.
Yeah, I would. Okay. That being said, I loved Batman versus Superman. You know that, but
yeah, I know you did.
But these the Lex Luthor Zemo characters were very, very similar. It's just one was a little more serious in how big of a screwball he was, and the other one was a little more clown college. So
right,
and that's what I'm sorry, you're done,
but. The point is that I've noticed a few things that people have said online. They're like, oh, I loved this. And these seem to have been the same people who were bitching about the exact same things
mm-hmm.
in Batman versus Superman. And that really busts my chop because there seemed to be almost this vendetta against Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
Like people were being told to hate it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so they hated it on purpose. And that makes me weep.
And I think
that
a
being
little
said,
bit of
I
that
still
is...
can't fucking wait for X-Men.
Right.
Done.
And I think you are. God damn it. I think you're right about mm-hmm. a lot of people were just told to hate BVS. And admittedly, I did fall into that a little bit. And looking back on it now, yeah, there were some really great points about that movie. Ben Affleck, great. Awesome. Jeremy Irons, awesome.
Gal Gadot.
Mm-hmm. Gal Gadot, I look at it again. And
she
I
was the Spider-Man of that movie.
She was.
I don't know if I don't know if I agree with that, but I just wish they had used her better. With Civil War versus Batman versus Superman, we've got what you've got in Civil War that you don't have in BVS is humor, just fun. You have fun in this movie. There's there's a whole lot of. It's for me, it is incredibly more emotional because it's less one note. Because BVS was very serious and dark mm-hmm. and sort of. But Civil War is just playing this symphony of notes and it's just going up and down and up. And then you've got this great high point of Spider-Man is geeking out about everybody and Ant-Man is like, hang on, I'm going to try this thing. And I'm King Kong. And, you know, oh God, Vision's passing straight through me. This beautiful, humorous, and really exciting action scene, followed by a lull at the raft, by the way. We got the fucking raft in the MCU now. And this emotional gut punch.
By the way, the first time I saw that, I was like, meanwhile, at the Hall of Doom.
Right.
Right?
Right. But, which, by the way, I think... the raft takes the place of Sector 42 in this movie.
Yes.
Yes.
Which I love. Anyways, but you get that beautiful emotional gut punch at the end of the film, and it's just dark as fuck. And Tony has just lost all sanity. He no longer has a will to live, just a will for vengeance. And suddenly Black Panther saves Zemo's life, and the whole movie sort of comes back to an up note, and you get this hopeful ending. And I really like that. I don't feel like BVS have ever had that. I don't know if they, I don't feel like they changed emotion
enough. It was very one line. Very
well. I wouldn't say that it's one line, but I don't think they changed enough. Not as much as Civil War did, which is why I think it worked better.
You're saying Batman versus Superman was like a kiddie coaster, and this was like freaking the hurricane roller coaster ride that you wanted Batman and Superman to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the one thing I don't like, the big reason I don't like BVS is because you can see the potential in the film and they just wasted it. And that's what depresses me more about that film. But yeah, I'm done now.
I have two thoughts. One was the Zemo versus Luthor thing that you had mentioned was the way that they should have done Luthor in Batman versus Superman. He should have been. And that, granted, it was a very dark movie. Had they lightened up Batman and especially Superman, it would have made that movie, like we were talking about, that more dynamic, and then made Luthor the fucking crazy. And then, so that's kind of my thought on that. But then what I think in hearing you guys talk about that, what really I love about this movie, Civil War, is that they talk about there's collateral to what you guys do.
Yeah.
And they show, for the first time in a movie, they show that affliction from the superheroes going, we did some bad things, and while we walk away and try to forget about it, we can't, and especially when it like happens right in front of us, and now there's, you know, people are getting on our shit, and but that's the part that's always kind of bugged me about superhero movies, is that you watch them come through and they destroy a city or whatever, and they have a big fight and it's great and it's wonderful, and then the movie does whatever, and then you never see the aftermath. In this movie, you get to see that aftermath.
And especially what she said during her fuck you, Tony Stark.
Yes.
You went home.
Yeah.
You went home.
Yes, exactly.
Some of us didn't get to.
And that's what I'm saying, is that one character spoke
volumes.
Huge volumes.
Yeah.
Just tidal waves of just for everybody and every, like, any movie you could think of, you know that there's those people that think that. And that's, to me, what really drew me into this movie and really made me just enjoy it.
Yeah. And one last thing before we move on. But I did enjoy the little bit of meta that happened with that character, with Alfred Woodard's character, of going, yeah, you guys are violent and you're killing people recklessly. And it's just sort of a condemnation of a lot of these superhero movies now, where some of them are like, it's Kevin Farger. Kevin Figgy Pudding. Kevin. Yeah. It's almost like Kevin Figgy went over to the script and went, and now throw shade on BVS. Like, that was straight up throw shade on DC for being super ultra violent in all of their films. Yeah. And it was done in a really nice way that I didn't even realize it until like 30 seconds.
My one rebuttal to that is I don't want the DC universe to be the exact same thing as the Marvel universe. I get that enough in the comics.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice to actually have that
dynamic,
the change up once in a while.
Yeah.
And it's, and that, I think that's why I like it, is sometimes I want my superheroes to be dark and broody and angry about what it is that's happening around them.
I do too, but they can be fun too. They can be fun while they're
being dark. Which is why I'm looking forward to Suicide Squad.
Superman could have smiled once in a while.
Yeah.
Just saying.
He could have.
I'm so excited for that ass.
Yeah, Suicide.
Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy.
Will Smith's ass in that Deadshot suit.
Right. How about Cara Delevingne in that swamp gear?
So,
God damn it, Kevin.
Fuck you, Ken.
Kevin even asked you.
Edit.
No, I'm not going to edit that out.
Clang.
I'm going to keep it in there.
Fuck.
So that kind of brings us into, are we done with Civil War?
Oh, God, yeah, I think so. We've talked for almost an hour about this.
Well, yeah. And
good thing Mind's Eye Comics loves us.
Good thing. Hey, oh, that's right.
You know what we haven't done today? We haven't talked about our sponsor, Mind's Eye Comics. Located in Burnsville.
Egan.
Whatever. Fuck it.
Whatever. Fuck it.
We'll do it live.
You have Google.
Edit.
Mind's Eye Comics, located in Egan. you can go get any comics and figurines there if you'd like. And thank you so much to Mind's Eye for supporting our show.
Yeah, I totally forgot to mention that at the beginning. I almost edited that in earlier.
Not only,
we're so excited about Civil War.
So speaking of figures, I recently picked up a Spider-Gwen.
Really?
Yeah, okay, talk to me about that because you mentioned it before.
Because
it was in your pocket.
I brought her to the movie. She was right in the shirt pocket.
Hanging out. Yeah. I was there. I saw it. It was funny.
So Spider-Gwen.
Spider-Gwen.
And they are...
And you bought it from Mind's Eye, I'm assuming?
I didn't, because I haven't been scheduled at Egan.
Edit this part out, Nick. So you bought it from Mind's Eye Comics?
Of course I did. You know, they're going to know it's bullshit if they don't have any end, because this figure, as I was about to say, is so fucking hard to find.
Right,
I found it just by accident after searching since its release. Our mutual Stockades... Joseph and I, Graham, have been trying to find this figure, and we've finally both found one. But she comes with a wrecking ball, because all of these Marvel Legends figures are, like, build a figure.
And like a wrecking ball.
So in our chat, I was trying to make this joke, and everybody talked over me, and I got super fucking mad. But so the wrecking ball has like this little curve in it that's almost like a saddle. So she actually fits in it perfectly. So I have her, because she comes with two heads. She comes with the masked head, and she comes with an unmasked head with the Gwen Stacy. So I have the blonde hair on there with her foot kicking out, hanging from my ceiling. I have Spider-Man coming in like a wrecking ball. And it's my favorite.
That's awesome.
That is so awesome. If you ever want to see a good, I don't know if you guys watched the show Lip Sync Battle, but when Anne Hathaway was on it,
she killed it.
She was competing against Emily Blunt, and she killed Wrecking Ball. Just and even Emily Blunt was like, "What? I can't compete with this shit." It was amazeballs. If I can find a clip, I'll try to post it.
All right.
But that goes into we were talking about prior to the podcast starting. We were talking about movies that either shouldn't have sequels or revamps that just should not be fucking done. And the one thing that somebody was talking about, Rob, I believe it was you, was talking about Princess Bride. And I said, there is a movie that should not ever have a sequel. Ever, or be redone, or be revamped, or anything. Just leave it the fuck alone.
You're right, but I think I made a pretty solid argument for
which
it.
Which was that,
so William Goldman, the writer of the Princess Bride book originally, as well as this screenplay for the film, has written a chapter of a supposed sequel, Buttercup's Baby. Now, in the chapter, a whole bunch of shit goes down. It's kind of ridiculous. So it'll be
interesting. I thought Buttercup's Baby was an actual like book that existed.
It's not.
Is it a short story?
It is a chapter of a book that doesn't actually exist that William Goldman put at the end of the 25th anniversary edition of the Princess Bride novel. So I think they could do. It's possible to do a decent sequel to The Princess Bride if he were to ever put that book out. And you could do it by using the same trope from the first film, except instead of Peter Falk, it's Fred Savage sitting at his son's bedside reading him this story that his father read to his grandfather read to him, and his grandfather had read to his father, and now he's going to read it to you.
And I had said that instead I want Fred Savage in the original PJs in bed with his wife reading it to him. Like, well, he's sick. He's sick again. He's home from work, but he's playing like Xbox One.
Right. And I worried, the comment that I made was I was worried that I would hope that it would be good, but I fear that it would turn into the monstrosity that was the 2011 Three Musketeers horseshit movie.
With and Mila Wayne Brady Djokovic.
No, Mila Jovovich.
For some reason,
Nick can't get her fucking name right.
I'm horrible with names. We all know that.
We were briefly talking about the travesty that was that movie, and I had mentioned the fact horrible. That it was a good concept that was
great concept.
Just disgustingly executed.
But I think you hit the point was that they tried to do the steampunk thing, and this was way before steampunk was really a huge, huge thing. And I think if they would have waited a few years and done it in the steampunk, would have been better received, regardless of the fact they totally, other than using the names from the book, pretty much blow the story out of the water and like a Disney movie about history, totally destroy the shit out of it.
And also the actors would have needed to give a shit in this one.
That true. And
yes, they didn't.
But then we talked about like how The Musketeer, the John Woo version.
Love it.
Great movie. It had nothing to do really with what history or anything, but it was a great movie to watch. Very entertaining. Totally unrealistic of the time period, but I don't care. It didn't bother me.
Were there doves?
I don't know, but they surely weren't crying.
Too soon.
There's a pretty cool barrel sword fight, though.
Yeah. That's amazeballs.
Sword fights were outstanding
right in the beginning, and then I liked the whole movie up until the end when they were doing the wire work up on the tower with the. I got annoyed and I was like, oh, Christ, no. But it was. It was a good action flick.
All right, Kevin, do you have a movie that you would never ever want to see a sequel to?
That or I would never remake? Ever want to see a sequel to.
Or a remake or...
Well, I'm as I announced earlier before the podcast, I'm sad to announce that they're doing a Jumanji reboot.
No, I'm sorry.
Are they going to reboot Zathura next?
Oh, God. Actually, I would appreciate a Zathura reboot, or at least a remake, because then maybe they could get it right.
No.
I think they could.
I don't...
What the hell? I see Ron Jeremy. This is not okay.
Wrecking Ball.
Wait. Okay. That's
I was looking for a photo.
Ron Jeremy's parody of Wrecking Ball.
Looking for a photo of the Gwen Stacy Wrecking Ball, and I can't find it anywhere. So I was going to use that as a photo, but I can't find it.
I can think of a ton of movies that don't need a sequel, but that's only because they're bad. But like
right. Waterworld.
But like
a good movie that doesn't
good movies that need don't a need a sequel.
Yeah.
Or shouldn't... Yeah.
I mean, there's... Lincoln doesn't need a sequel.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
Did you really?
Yes.
Really?
What?
I mean, if you think about it, the movie...
Titanic doesn't need a sequel.
The movie we just reviewed for an hour was kind of a sequel to it. I mean...
Let's make a Titanic sequel.
But no, I mean, that it is tough to think of a really great original movie, not like a biopic, because you really can't do a sequel to a biopic. That's why I made the joke. But like, I don't think there exists. There aren't that many anymore, and I think that speaks a lot more to the culture in that we are a sequel driven culture. We're not a standalone film culture anymore.
But what worries me about that is with not that this is anything new with film history, but just remaking of movies. I worry that they're going to take something like The Princess Bride and go, we need to remake this. No, you don't. Don't. I don't care if you want to and that you can. Don't. Because it doesn't need to be remade. Just leave it the fuck alone.
Okay, I have spoken many times about my hatred for Adam Sandler, but I can't believe this. I'm going to use him as an example for pro reboots and remakes. Mr. Deeds, did you guys like that?
I did.
You did? You liked Mr. Deeds?
It was enjoyable-ish.
I feel like Adam Sandler has gone through phases. He unfortunately has been on a bad streak for a very long time, but yes. I think he has good streaks and bad streaks.
And what made me enjoy Mr. Deeds, to be honest with you, was not Adam Sandler. Was
John Turturro.
Yes,
John Turturro,
absolutely.
Yeah. He was
brilliant. Hilarious.
Yeah, I do not like Adam Sandler in that film, but I do love John. I love everyone else, even Winona Ryder.
I actually didn't hate him in that movie. He made me laugh, and it's...
Okay.
The David Bowie scene in the plane.
Oh, yeah.
Where that Major Tom was standing.
No, that was pretty good. But... The original film from the 1940s starring, I believe, Cary Grant,
Mr. Deeds Goes to Town.
Mr. Deeds Goes to Town is an amazing film, and by the way, has a sequel.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
It's called.
It's actually Mr. called Smith Mr. Goes, Smith Goes to Washington.
I was about to say Mr. Smith.
Starring Jimmy.
Crackhorn.
God damn it, Jimmy Stewart.
Oh.
Jesus.
Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah.
Yours is a little Sean Connery there.
Yeah, it was a little Jimmy Stewart.
I used to do.
And the day is mine. Suck it your back, suck it long, and suck it hard.
I used to do a better Jimmy Stewart back in like eighth grade after I saw the Christmas movie. That's like Christopher Walken.
No, it's not. It's
it was a little Christopher Walken.
What's the Jimmy Stewart Christmas movie?
It's a Wonderful Life.
Thank you. That's
the
it.
Greatest Christmas film ever. No, that's
no,
not
that's not true.
It's Die Hard.
I was about to say Die Hard.
I'm joking. I don't agree with that either. It's Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Oh, the best Christmas Carol movie ever made.
Yes.
100%.
Yes.
I really enjoy Scrooged.
Well, that's more based on it, not an actual telling of it.
That's true. That is very true, yes.
But, like, Michael Caine is the best Scrooge. He's the best Scrooge.
Absolutely.
And he sings, which is charming.
He does.
He does British charming really well, and I like it.
Weird.
Because
he's British.
Right, but I mean, there are some. Jason Statham can't do charming British.
No, because he's like, "Oi, governor, fuck you and fuck your mate." That kind of.
Yeah.
He's that Cockney kind of.
But also, I don't believe Ian McGregor can do charming British very well.
Oh, yes, he can.
Well, it doesn't help that he's Irish, mind you. But Scottish. One of the two.
Scottish.
Is he Scottish? Okay. I knew he was.
Scottish. Very... He's Scottish.
Anyway. But wow.
Stop it. Just stop.
just stop.
Bruh.
Bruh. Bruh.
I'm just going to keep doing it because it's funny.
Bruh.
But yeah, no, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington is technically a sequel to Mr. Deeds Goes to Town.
Really?
The reason it isn't is because Cary Grant refused to do sequels. And so they rewrote a little bit of the script, made a new character, sort of, but it's really, honestly, the same damn character. And they cast Jimmy Stewart instead.
Hmm.
And for my personal opinion, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington is one of my favorite films of all time. It is such a good example of 1930s politics.
Oh, it absolutely is. But it's so beautiful. Favorite movie.
It's one of those good period pieces.
Yeah. I'll give you that.
Like, and if you watch it today, there are a lot of parallels to Jimmy's kind of politics.
Fuck,
and it's awesome.
I saw Daddy Long Legs for the first time today.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like you just went, I like the Money Pit. That is my answer to that.
No, like I saw Daddy
Long Legs. Daddy Long Legs?
It is this old, it's a Fred Astaire and that French chick who was in Gigi. And
Okay.
About the Findom relationship that he had, and he was like a creepy uncle, but not really a creepy uncle.
Right,
and
right.
He's basically a benefactor to this orphan and sends her to college in New England, and they fall in love, even though he's like 100 years older than her. I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. Nope.
Okay. Nope.
It was a weird movie.
This was kind of not.
The acting was not great.
I'm not going to say this was like one of the greatest movies of all time, but I think V for Vendetta was a great movie, and I don't want to see
it. Does not need a sequel.
No.
That's fair.
It doesn't need a sequel. I don't think it needs to be ever remade. And speaking about what you talked about with like Mr. Smith Goes to Washington and how that there's a lot of parallels to what's going on today. It's funny that everybody was like, "Oh, this movie's totally about what's going on in America." Blah blah blah. I'm like, do you realize this comic was written in 1960 something?
What? 1981.
V for Vendetta. I thought it was much earlier than that.
It's 81. It's Alan Moore.
I remember getting into an argument with somebody about whether this was a liberal victory or a Republican victory.
The movie?
Yeah.
And
he was like, I laugh at liberals who think that this is a liberal victory movie. It's about small government and staying out of the people's life. And I'm like,
I don't think
I'm like, you can say that until the cows come home, but the Republicans want just as big of a government as liberals because they just want their own thing. But yada, yada, yada. The point is I don't see a conservative movie where a dude goes on a killing spree because they killed a lesbian.
True. Yeah.
You know, with this super religious fascist governments, which is very right wing.
Which they very promptly state are keeping people in check simply by fear, by creating fear.
But he wouldn't listen. He, of course, is right. So,
By the way, V for
Vendetta. That's why I don't like arguing that kind of shit with people. I mean, I love it, but I hate it.
Right. By the way, V for Vendetta was 10 issues long. It was originally published in September 1988 to May 1989 by Vertigo Comics in the U.S.
Good to know.
And it was written by Alan Moore with art by David Lloyd and Tony Weir.
I'm trying to think of any other real other movies.
All I can think of is movies they don't need to reboot that are being rebooted right now, like Crow and Jumanji and fucking.
But the Crow reboot has been stuck in development hell for like 5 years.
It's true.
And I'm really okay with that.
Yeah, just, and I.
Can it stay there, please?
Yeah. Also, that was a movie that did not need a sequel.
Not at all. Yeah. Not in the slightest. And I. Yeah.
Much and less like three four. Or four of them.
Yeah.
It was a good movie. I thought Crow was a decent movie.
David Boreanaz, I'll love you forever as Angel, and you're pretty goddamn great in Bones, but let us never forget, one of your first acting roles was in The Crow 3.
With Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah.
I'm just annoyed. I can't
remember about that black mark on your career, sir.
I can't not be annoyed and express my annoyance with the remake of Jumanji. Why? You had a... the audience doesn't know this. Huge Robin Williams fan. I cannot express the impact that he's had on my acting career and just the immense just love I have for Robin Williams. You okay over there? Okay. And I'm sorry. Even if he didn't make a good movie and Jumanji's not like some cinematic awesome masterpiece, did I miss something? I missed something.
Yeah, you missed something a lot.
All right.
You said acting career, and then I did finger quotes.
Well, acting career. Well, that's true. True story. But I'm just saying that in my very amateurish acting career adjacent, just pretty much, you know, Robin Williams is just, you just don't. It's like saying we need to remake Mrs. Doubtfire, or we need to remake.
Oh, my God. I want a remake of Mrs. Doubtfire starring The Rock. I want it so badly. I want it to be like Mr. Mom.
No.
Speaking of Mr. Mom, there's a movie that doesn't need to be remade. Classic. Or doesn't need a sequel.
Good Will Hunting. Does not need a sequel.
No.
I do not want Good Will Hunting 2 hunting season.
I do.
Applesauce, bitch.
I know. I totally do. I totally want that movie.
I want it. I want it.
I want to see it, and I want to see it so hard.
Yeah.
Just because.
I also simultaneously do and do not want a sequel to Dogma. With Bethany's Baby and The New Last Scion. It doesn't need to be made, but at the same time, I'm curious.
Yeah,
Do you think Kevin Smith would? With the exception of Clerks and Mallrats, he really hasn't
made
sequels.
He's making a Clerks 3 and a Mallrats.
I know, but I'm saying with the exception of those two movies, he really hasn't made any sequels to any of his other movies. Do you think he would do a sequel to Dogma?
I would, maybe. If enough people went, hey, it's been almost 20 years. Maybe you should think about this.
It was without a doubt one of his best films.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love Dogma. I love me Dogma. It really opened...
The only problem is that it would be missing Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
And that would be a major bummer.
Yeah,
It would be a nice salute.
Although...
Major bummer.
Wow, wait, hang on. I just thought of someone they could recast Metatron with, and it would be both a beautiful tribute and a pretty stellar job.
The Rock?
Daniel Radcliffe.
The Rock.
The Rock.
I just want The Rock to be in everything. Can we make
that? They remade
No.
Escape to Witch Mountain.
All right, joke answer. Yes, Daniel Radcliffe. Serious answer? Eddie Izzard.
Ooh.
Yeah. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Wow.
Thank you for that mind bomb you just
yes.
had here. I'm loving
you're
it.
You're welcome.
God, yes.
Welcome. Eddie Izzard as the new Metatron. And
I
just showed my girlfriend Dressed to Kill. If you've not seen Eddie Izzard Dressed to Kill, it is without a doubt my top three best stand-ups
She's
of all
not
time.
Seen that?
She hadn't until recently, no.
Wow.
Which, by the way, as Bethany's kid, I would cast Chloe Grace Moretz.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she'd do really well.
Speaking of kind of remakes and revamping movies and blah blah blah, so young Han Solo just got cast.
Yeah, was,
what do we?
Who was that? Alden Emmerich or whatever.
Alden Reich.
Emmerich.
All in the Third Reich.
Whoa.
German.
Oh, it absolutely is.
I couldn't find the word Juman.
German.
Yeah.
Isn't that a
Jewish human?
No. So what do we think about the casting of this semi?
I have neither.
Alden Ehrenreich. That's his name. Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
So I saw Hail Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
If neither of you did, I really recommend it. It's not your usual
parts of it.
Fare, but it's sort of like it's an interesting sort of film about the Hollywood industry from the 1940s and 50s, and it's a little like classic Coen Brothers, sort of Big Lebowski ish.
Okay,
yeah,
it's good. It's very good. And the kid Alden Ehrenreich is amazing as like. He plays sort of the Ricky Nelson character. You know who Ricky Nelson is?
Yes.
You do. Do you know who Ricky Nelson is? Okay, Ricky Nelson was an actor in the 40s and 50s and 60s-ish. He was sort of a teen heartthrob,
mm-hmm.
played guitar, did country stuff. He was in the movie Rio Bravo with John Wayne. He was the kid.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So this guy, Alden Ehrenreich, plays sort of a Ricky Nelson-style character.
Okay.
And he gets cast in this really stuffy British comedy, like drawing room comedy. And he just doesn't know what to do because he's a cowboy actor. Like, he's just... And eventually he finds George Clooney's character hanging out with communists. Mm-hmm. And it's weird. And it's kind of fun. It's funny. And it's very good in it. So I like the casting.
So I haven't seen that, and I don't know much about him, and so I'm holding judgment. Right. I have neither good feelings nor bad. I think
he's just a little too buff for Han Solo, but
he is quite a bit more chiseled than Mr. Harrison Ford was back in the 70s.
Right, which he's supposed to be young Han Solo, and that's cool.
But
that's
as long as this movie is about how he and Chewbacca meet and how obviously that life debt comes into play, and
yeah.
My only hope is that he can keep the same Han Solo that and not that he has to emulate
is this
him.
Like a Help Me Obi-Wan Kenobi level. Yeah, your only hope.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got to keep... Like, Ewan McGregor, I thought, did a great job as being a young Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yeah. I hope that in the same respect that this new guy
emulates the right parts of Harrison Ford.
And keeps it as a good young and doesn't try to... They don't try to do some stupid...
I want smug, I want smarmy,
yes.
I want
yes.
shooting first all over the place.
Yeah. Often Kevin has that problem.
I imagine young Han Solo does too.
Well, right. Who didn't at that age? Yeah. I was going to say about Hail Caesar, I saw the beginning, maybe 15 minutes of it, and then I made out with a girl, so I didn't see the rest of it. I heard it. It was on in the background.
How do you just make out with a person that long?
She touched your penis.
What are you, 17?
Right?
Maybe.
Get to the point.
We had sex. We had coitus, okay?
Okay.
We went from kissing to coitus.
In the theater.
No.
I'm disappointed in you.
I'm pointed in you. Oh, wait, no, you were pointed in her. Never mind.
I thought I was trying to be respectful and not have to mention coitus, but since apparently I got to mention exactly in grave detail.
You can edit it out.
I won't, though, because it's funny.
All right, so long as you're not going to edit it out, who was it?
None of your business.
Oh, that means it's somebody we know. Excellent.
He
doesn't want to say it on the podcast, which I respect.
Which I also respect. But.
I personally don't want to say on the podcast.
We know.
Awesome.
We know her. Awesome.
All right, I can't wait.
All right. Nick, would you pass me a piece of paper so Kevin and I can write down our...
No. Absolutely not. Any other movies that we wanted to...
I just wanted...
Moving on from movies, obviously and I'm going to go home and watch the next episode tonight, but do you guys keep up with Game of Thrones?
Yes.
I don't.
Okay.
But go ahead. It doesn't bother.
Huge spoiler coming! We have the return of Jon Snow.
Yep.
Basically, the one thing that everybody wanted, which was the return of Jon Snow, actually happened. And they kept this shit tight as Luke, I am your father. Only five people knew about it.
Yeah.
And so they didn't know whether at the end of the episode he was going to come back. And I said major spoilers.
Oh, that's true.
Whether he was going to come back or whether he was not. And if it was just going to end with him staying dead and them leaving.
On the other hand, it the way I look at it, it was the biggest non-surprise. Like, because here's the thing. The actor, Kit Harington, has said for years that it is in his contract to keep that long hair. And as soon as he's done with the contract, he's fucking cutting it off. He didn't cut it off. We knew he was still in the show.
Well, then again, you know, somebody can get used it to something and decide that they like it.
Well, the way... I'm sorry, go ahead.
But what is annoying is that there are people who are annoyed about it. And
yeah.
Despite the fact that this is the thing that everybody wanted to happen, and then it happened, and then people got annoyed about it, says everything you need to know about nerds.
Yeah. Welcome to America, where people will bitch about their ice cream being too cold.
But, like, it hurts my teeth sometimes. Right.
You just, you know, and especially if it's, like, cookie dough, then it's like,
if it gets too cold, it gets too hard, and I like stirring it into that kind of, like sludge substance.
Soupy sludge thing. You can just absolutely.
That's the best way to do it.
We're the best way to do it.
We're the devil.
Root beer floats, we put the ice cream in, you gotta get it into that perfect root beer ice cream ratio so it becomes kind of like a root beer chocolate
better
chip.
Better than Chinese restaurants that have the self-serve, soft serve,
right?
And where you can get your own pop, and when they have root beer and you make your own root beer floats, yes.
Buffets, John's back, everyone.
But you can also, I'm gonna stay on the root beer floats idea. Plus, those are the same restaurants that have, like, the toppings for ice cream. So you can put Oreo crumbs into your root beer float.
You can.
It sounds awful.
It's delicious. Delightful. It's delicious.
I'll believe you.
Sometimes it's marshmallows.
It's like going to Applebee's and getting their Oreo chocolate shake and then asking them to adult it up. And then they go, what do you mean? You go, put some Bailey's in it. It's delicious. So good.
That I believe.
That's delicious.
That sounds wonderful.
It's Jon Snow's.
Now I want.
So Jon Snow is back.
Now I want to watch Game of Thrones and eat a root beer float, drink, eat, whatever.
Consume.
Eat, pray, man, woman, whatever. It was a movie once. It's a movie. It really is a movie.
Okay.
Independent film out of Japan?
Sounds awful.
Yeah. It was very boring, not what you would think. It's about the relationship between men and women and about over food and it.
But he only saw the first 15 minutes that he made out with a girl.
No, I actually
an hour and a half, I guess.
I watched this like on my obsession when I was big on IFC channel.
Epiphany. What happened?
I remembered one of the trailers that was before this movie that I can definitely tell you there was a sequel that never needed to be made. The new Tyler Perry Madea movie.
Oh.
The basically Madea's version of Ernest Scared Stupid, apparently.
Where? What?
Yeah, it's
what?
Like a
Civil War?
No, the trailer before Civil War, the Madea's zombie apocalypse, whatever.
That sounds awful.
Zombie.
You were literally there for it.
I know, and I'm trying to remember what movie that was.
Actually,
because they had the shark one, and then they had Rogue One,
or maybe that was before Keanu.
It was probably before Keanu because I don't
maybe
remember.
Maybe it was before Keanu, but anyway, this is a new Madea movie.
Not to be. Yeah, I'm guessing it was.
Yeah, maybe it was probably Keanu. Which, by the way, Keanu is fucking awesome, guys. Go see it. Go like legit. Go if you like Key and Peele,
you will enjoy this
when they're on their game. You'll like this movie. It starts out kind of Boondock Saints-y, and it's about a gang infiltration. It was completely different than what I thought it was going to be. Yes, it was hilarious, and there were tits and blood and stuff.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, but...
I might have to see this now.
No, like, see it. Like, I was shocked by how much I liked it. It was very funny. I was laughing the entire time.
By the way, I did think of another movie that did not need a sequel, but is getting one, and I'm super excited about the sequel. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows.
Like, for real? It's the movie we all wanted when we were
12. It is, and we've talked about that.
It's the movie we wanted when they rebooted the fucking franchise.
Speaking of which... Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3 is on Netflix.
Yeah, it is.
I saw that.
With the goofy spots and everything.
I was watching last night, but I'm like, I'm too tired to watch it, so I'm just going to watch Scrubs. Which is fine, because I love falling asleep to Scrubs.
No, that's fair.
And Scrubs is leaving Netflix for the first time since
I know, we talked about that.
Yeah, we did talk about this, but it's still on.
It's still on. It was supposed to leave May 2nd, but apparently still on.
Huh? Maybe enough people bitched.
Probably the whole
The power
Netflix,
of the internet.
The like, whole Netflix nation probably
one of
bitched.
Their highest streamed shows, for crying out loud.
It's gotta be.
It's gotta be. 100%. Because I watch it daily. I fall asleep to Scrubs daily. Absolutely. Problem with having TV in my room, which I've been told not to do, but I don't care.
Yeah, you know, you probably shouldn't, but whatever. Who cares?
I don't care. You shouldn't sleep with yourself on extra head either, but I do.
Cancer. Brain cancer. You're going to get brain cancer.
Everything's going to give me cancer these days. Who gives
that McDonald's? Shit. Really? Speaking from the McDonald's you just ate? That'll give you cancer.
So who's the name of the girl?
So this has been best threesome ever.
I'm Nick.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Kevin.
Thanks to our sponsor, Mind's Eye Comics in Eagan, Minnesota.
Burnsville, god damn it. Oh, no, wait, Eagan.
Not even close to Burnsville.
Not even close to Burnsville.
It's kind of close to Burnsville. It's close to Apple Valley, but it's, yeah, it's not far from Burnsville.
That's not far. You're right.
Mind's Eye Comics now in Eagan, Burnsville, and Apple Valley.
it's
welcome.
It's expanding.
Just through the power of our voices.
Go see Civil War and Keanu.
Oh, yes, and Keanu, apparently.
Good night, everybody.
What the fuck?
What?
Good night, Dr. Nick.
Ah. I start one that way, and then you have a problem with me. Now you end one, and it's okay.
Views held here by the nerds of Best Threesome Ever do not necessarily reflect the views of men everywhere.
Shove that meat in your mouth, and let's do this.